today's going to be a different kind of a day for the class anyhow. I mean, you're not going to have to listen to me the whole time. So that'll be a blessing. For 5 weeks, we've been practicing. You know, we start the class off. What is P? What is Q? What is R? What is... today, we're going to end up doing something different. I want to ask you, Michelle, if you'd be so kind as to come up to one of these tables here and drink. We're going to work in small groups, and I'm going to give you about 15 minutes for your group to do two things. First of all, you have 5 minutes, review the main points to the PQRST approach to studying, and what are the 10 main points of the preview step, okay, just to call it to mind. And then after the second part, you're going to have about 15 minutes, you're going to preview 1 Peter chapter 5 together, okay? And then we're going to read through the first part of the chapter and apply what we have learned using the three C's. Okay. So this is the... Basically, that is what the PQRST approach to studying is like. As you previewed 1 Peter chapter 5 just now, okay, is there any particular verse or thought or something that came out in that that spoke to you? I'd like to start off by mentioning, notice we get to a passage of scripture like this, and we have 1, 2, 3, 4 ladies here, okay? To the elders among you, I appeal to them. Well, this doesn't have anything to do with me, so we tend to do it. I have that problem a lot in books of the Old Testament, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, sometimes in Chronicles. But in the midst of all of that, that doesn't seem to apply to me, I need to end up seeing like I still can learn some things. There's some valuable lessons in the midst of all of that, even though it's not addressed specifically to me. So, for instance, in 1 Peter 5, in verse 2, Peter tells the elders, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. So if I am not an elder within a church, okay, what does it mean to be under the care of a shepherd of the flock? What does a shepherd do? What is my position? What am I to do as far as uplifting the elders in my church? Okay? Understanding what their role is to help us out as a body. Okay? So even though it's not written specifically to me, I can still pull points out. So they're to be overseers. Well, if they're overseers and they're over us, we're under their care, then I have a certain respect for the authority that they have. What does that look like? Say they say something or do something that I disagree with. What is my responsibility at that point? Okay. How do I handle that in a godly way and still be under the judgment? Because I am still reminded that they're the overseers of the flock. They're the ones that are going to be held accountable to God for what takes place in the local assembly. So they have to be before God. So how do I relate with them? Okay. Then, again, it continues to talk about relationships. Young men in the same way be submissive to those who are older. Well, do you think there might be an application about that to a woman and younger woman being submissive to the older woman? And then humbling ourselves. Again, that's a relationship. All right. One that really speaks to me in this chapter, okay, is cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And for me, when I think about casting, if I go fishing, and I have my fishing pole, and I put the bait on the end of the line, right? I'm going to cast the thing up. If I hold on to the bait, how far is it going to go when I cast my hook? It's not going to go at all. And I can't help but think of how often it is that I may pray to God, and I say, God, I want you to take care of this, and this is what I'm going to do to help you out. So I never really take care, I never cast my care on God. So for me, a conviction of sin is the times that I continue to try to do things on my own, even though I say, hey God, I want you to take care of this, I need you to take care of this, and this is what I want to do. I'm usurping God's role in my life at that point. So for me, that's sin. That's conviction for me. Okay. What's the challenge for me? Remember who I am. Remember who God is. Remember what our relationship is, and I'm not to do what God is supposed to be doing in my life. I need to depend on Him. I need to call upon Him. I need to depend on His strength and His ability in my life. Okay? And what's the comfort? When I have the right relationship, okay, just thinking about that last part of that verse 7, okay, why do I do that? Because He cares for me. I don't have an unloving, uncaring God. He cares for me. The Almighty God, the Creator of all the universe and everything that has ever existed, ever will exist, the Creator of time, my Creator, cares for me individually and specifically. And that's a great deal of comfort. Because one thing I've struggled with a lot in my own personal life is feeling and being accepted by family in particular. Okay, and that's created a lot of difficulties for me because I haven't dealt with that in inappropriate ways as I've been growing up. Okay? God cares for me. If nobody else cares for me, and I'm grateful, I'm here in a church that's filled with people that I believe love me and show that to me all the time. You know what? I think it's a very great comfort for me. All else seems to be failing and falling apart. Okay. God cares for me. If I just keep repeating that to myself several times a day, okay, or use my little note card, okay, God cares for me. God cares for me. God cares for me. You know, the next time a person insults me or cuts me off in traffic and I start wanting to freak out, you know what? It makes a big difference for me in my own personal life. So that's why I would encourage you, those of you that do use notepads, some of you I know have difficulty writing stuff down, and that's fine, you don't have to do that. But end up just doing what you can to remember to meditate on God's word. So like in this particular case, the part of that that I would probably write down on my little notepad is 1 Peter 5, 7, He cares for you. He cares for me. He cares for me. That I preach in. Oh, yeah, I remember now. Okay, so that's what I wanted to say about that. Your homework assignment. I don't think I'm going to give up my homework assignment just because this is the last class. Okay. session 6, homework assignment is due, okay, at the second coming of the Lord. And to meet with Him, you can answer to Him as to what He would rather than love. Okay? And God. Basically, what that is, I encourage you to finish reading the book of 1 Peter and to end up on continuing this in your own Bible studies as you're going along from that one. Hopefully, you'll be able to have some little parts of this, snippets here and there from the course that will help you along your way. That's what I hope and pray. And that's what I have to say about that. Does anybody have any questions at this point?
I don't know if it's a question, it's just a comment, but I'm still working on a line from 1 Peter 4, which is, he who suffered in his body is done with sin. I really want to know what that means, but I only forwarded up in 2 translations so far and wrote down what I found.
Okay.
I plan to keep digging that out of as many translations as I can.
Great.
See if I can ferret more meaning, because that's kind of enigmatic to me.
Right.
He was suffered in his body, he's done with sin. Is that talking about the believer? Is it talking about Jesus? you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Keep checking the context.
I need to know what happens.
That's a great one. And that's what I would hope that Bible study becomes for you. Yes, you know, I want to find out more. Get your curiosity out. Get your curiosity cap on and search it out. And then when you come to church, talk to somebody else about you. Hey, you know what I just discovered about? Because that can be a big blessing. When I hear that, that encourages me, because you know that's what we're wanting us to do in this course.
Well, that's what I wrote in the heart. I didn't know that there were people who wanted to come to this, but they sacrificed it so they could take care of the kids. So I wrote on here, ask us what we learned, and we'll be happy.
Great. Yeah, then you can be a blessing for them. Yeah, that's super.
Anyone? Why didn't you
responsible to God. Is that about verse 7?
Yes.
Okay. He cares for me. Right? God cares for me. So if he cares for me, I have to trust his caring for me. Right? So for me, that provides a great deal of comfort, knowing that God Almighty loves me and cares for me specifically. So I want to remind myself of that. I want to remind myself of that often. Because when I get into a difficult time, and I do, this book talked quite a bit about suffering. Okay, when I get into times when I'm suffering, when I'm hurting, when things are troubling me, when I'm going through trials, when I'm going through temptation, I want to remember that God cares for me. Because that will help me see my way through it. A lot more than from on my own.
Why is something on that? You spoke about people in this congregation caring for you too.
Right.
And when I heard this course was coming and was going to be led by Bob Beaumont, I thought, who is Bob Beaumont? And I knew a few Bobs, but I didn't know. To me, it's important who's giving the course that I make decisions about. So I'm so thrilled that this church takes pictures of people. My church directory was in my car. I went out to my welcome party to get the directory, looked up Bob Beaumont, and I saw you. And I said, oh, I had a conversation with that guy one day, and it was pleasant. So I think I'll take the course. So without the pictures, I still wouldn't.
I did that. So somebody was mentioning a name to me, and I just couldn't put the name with the picture today. So, not today, this week. And I did the same thing. Yeah, it's a blessing.
No.
Then when I get into the book like that, it works a while. I just go through it and pray for specific people. Somebody, God will lay somebody on my heart. Okay.
Well, I just wouldn't comment. Every once in a while, I thought to myself that I don't receive God's love nearly enough. I don't receive God's love. You know, when I looked at Romans 8, 38, it says nothing separates from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And then you look at Ephesians, just looking that up, it says, you grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. You know, so the love of God is in Christ Jesus. His love is so wide and long and high and deep. And I know that. But I'm appreciative of that, but how much am I really receiving that? And when I've thought of that, and I haven't thought of it enough, but I've thought, you know, that's all there for me. And it's, I don't know what's a good example, but, you know, you made a few presents under the Christmas tree. Let's say you just opened one, and I think it's just still there.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. That's another great word, you know, how wide and deep and is God's love now. If I want to meditate on something for a while, just sit in a nice quiet spot and I'll think about what does it mean? God's love is wide and high and deep. And what is that all about? And I can start to appreciate it a little bit more. Because, yeah, that's one of the things I do, too. I just tend to forget about that. And I get caught up in everyday living, and I forget about it. So I need to keep reminding myself.
But we do see it a bit here in our church.
Yes.
I know there have been times, there have been times that I was away for a while, and I came back, and I just thought, I'm so glad to be back. I don't know, but yeah. I don't know, 20% maybe of the people here, but they're all, you know, they're the common denominator the most, anyhow.
This was a couple of times. And you know, this church takes people when they're down. I've been in contact with Andres while he was away. And he never ceased to be amazed at the love that people from this church kept showing him and the encouragement through cards and letters the whole time that he was away. And he shared with me, he gave me a phone call on the Friday that he'd get out. He said, I'm home. I said, yeah, you're coming home? He said, no, I am home now. You know, he says, you know what's amazing? He says, the mail call came on Friday morning. Okay? And I had a letter from someone at the church. And he says, the guys began to say, you are too much. He says, here you are going home at 9 o'clock and you're opening a letter this morning and somebody says, you have so many letters. That's what it means when you're in a good church. What you need to do when you get out of this place is go find yourself a good church. So it was a testimony. He was able to give a testimony and brag about us because people were blessing him with letters. So that's good. Okay, I have... I was hoping Patricia would be here, but I didn't. She's... Have a chance to tell Patricia thank you. She's the one that printed up all these materials. She designed the flyer for us and everything else. Jerry made sure that the chairs were all set up and the tables were set up for us. Chris has been recording this, and it's going to be going online, so it will be available for people that want to hear the six sessions online. Bruce and Tori have helped put chairs away at the end of the rows when we leave, so it's all nicely straightened out with the people when they come tonight. So I just appreciate all of the help. Most of all, I think I appreciate the insights that people here, you have all been willing to share. You have some great questions, and I really appreciated that. That was an encouragement to me. So I really appreciate your being here. Two final favors that I'm going to be asking of you, okay? One of them is after, in your handouts, you have the PQRST post-test. I'm going to ask you not to use your notes, because I'll tell you what, we're going to give you like about 5 minutes to do as many of those as you possibly can, that and the first Peter. Because I'd like to compare them, I'd like you to be able to compare them with the answers that you gave in your first test, Ms., just so that you can prove to yourself how much you learned in this course. Okay? So give you about 5 minutes to do that.
Okay, just...
The important thing is to see how much better you did this time than in the first test. We're going to go over the questions, okay? If you get it right, put a check mark next to that number, so then at the end you can count them up. Okay? On the PQRST, approach to studying, P stands for?
Preview.
Q?
Quiz.
R?
Read, record.
S?
Study.
P?
Test.
All right, identifying the 12 items to be previewed with the PQRST approach. So if we start off with the 2F, font,
size.
Font, style. Okay, that's a good one. Okay. Then we have the BIT, bold,
italics,
and title. Okay. Then another one was CUP,
Cap.
Capitals. underline and pictures and okay. Then we had D-O-T-H, right? Diagrams,
right.
Outlines, text blocks, and highlights. Okay, circle T if each statement promotes true and accurate statement as well. The quiz portion of the PQRST course of study means that I am to quiz myself on all the material presented in the unit being studied.
True. False.
All I'm quizzing myself on is what I learned in the preview portion. That gives me the confidence to go on that I know the material. Okay, the read portion of PQRST means that I carefully read all of the material in the unit being studied. True. The read portion of PQRST approach to study means I carefully take notes about the material being read. Read, report, true. Okay. 21, part of studying the PQRST approach to studying involves simplifying the notes while reading. Well, we developed the little codes. That's true. Yes, studying should be done in long sessions so more material can be stored in memory.
False.
Good. The test portion of PQRST means actually taking a practice test.
True.
And part of that practice test involves the three C's that we have. 24, I can actually determine the most important material for the unit when I use the PQRST approach.
True.
Okay, and 25, when preparing for a test, I should never try to guess what question the teacher will ask.
False.
Okay, First Peter, number 1. Capital S, and the margin means scrutinize carefully.
False.
According to 1 Peter 1:13, we have to prepare our minds for action.
True.
3, because God cares for us, we have to cast all our major problems on Him.
True.
False.
Well, anxiety, problems, it depends on how.
All our cares upon Him. So that's a false. That's a trick question. Okay, number 4, believers have returned to the shepherd and overseers of our souls. We were just talking about that here. Right? Who's the overseer? That was true. Yeah, Christ. Christ himself, number 5, Christ himself will restore us, make us strong and steadfast if we don't fall.
False.
Okay, 6, dictionary definitions are best when trying to understand words in Scripture.
True. Depends on if it's Bible dictionary.
Pardon me? Depends on the dictionary. But where's a better place to get God's definition of His words? In His Word. Right? So you're right. It depends a lot on the dictionary. Okay, each chapter of 1 Peter has 2 main points.
False. Depends on the Bible, right?
Great, yes, that's a false, because it depends on the Bible that you use. And some of them have like 6 or 12 points per chapter. Okay, everybody caught me on this one. Okay, exhaustive concordances make one tired when carrying them.
True.
That's true. That's not why. Okay, number 9. 1 Peter is the first letter.
Six is false.
1 Peter is the first letter Peter wrote to the Apostle Paul.
Yeah. False.
Okay, number 10. 1 Peter is written to the Hebrews in Jerusalem.
False.
Remember on that, they were scattered all over. Okay, 11. 1 Peter provides instructions for husband and wife relationships.
True.
12. Footnotes in Scripture are God-breathed.
False.
Okay, that's really, really important. Okay, number 13, governors are sent to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right.
False.
True. It's in, I believe it's in chapter 3. We're talking about just after the husband wife relationship. Okay, number 14, if believers are not clear-minded and sober, they can't pray.
True.
Okay. Number 15, if we humble ourselves under God's mighty hand, He will lift us up.
True.
16, it's always better to use a hard copy of Scripture rather than internet sources.
False.
Number 17, some commentaries about 1 Peter are more accurate than others.
True.
18, the first letter of Peter has six chapter divisions. Number 19, the Lord hears the prayers of the righteous. Number 20, true believers are promised to never have to suffer grief through trials. Number 21, use of concordances is best left to Bible scholars. 22, victory and suffering is the overriding theme of 1 Peter. I realize that's a subjective question. That's not really a feeling. I identified for me there were two major themes in 1 Peter. One is victory and suffering, the other one is relationships. You may have come up with other themes, so that's an unfair question.
So that could be answered either way.
So that could be answered either way, mark it right. Okay, number 23, we have to be self-controlled and alert lest we fall. Okay, verse 24, we have to rejoice when we participate in the sufferings of Christ.
True.
25, when studying the Bible, our primary task is to interpret the meaning of passages.
Depends on what you mean by interpret.
What was number 24?
The first lesson that we had, there were four major words that we wanted to look at. One was interpretation, inspiration, inerrancy, and illumination. The main purpose of Bible study is to ask the Holy Spirit to illumine His Word to us. There's too many mistakes and too many errors for one if I try to interpret it on my own. So that one there would be false. Now, if you would be so kind, Bruce.
I got an 84.
Okay, great.
Super. But I have two that I confess. You know, the believers that return to the shepherd and oversee our souls. It does say that, I checked that out, but that's not always the case. It's sort of a burden that we do that.
That we do that, yeah.
So I'll give you that one. But then, oh, if believers are not clear-minded and sober, they can't pray. Well, I think we can pray anytime.
That's right. Yeah.
And, you know, will our prayers be effective? You know, prayers of righteous power are effective. Right. But we can pray anytime.
And First Peter does tell us that we need to be clear-minded and sober.
So that we
can. All right.
But I agree too, you know, because I know sometimes when I'm bumbling along the words and I'm the least clear, but you know, I can still pray and God can still hear my prayer.
All right, Tom, we've got a beat. I got a beat.
Okay, very good. Okay, what I would like you to do.